says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." I opened the Bible straight to that this morning, and I wanted to share it with you for just a moment in case, again, that's Psalm 103. "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being." That's what we're going to be talking about, our inmost beings this morning. So let's pray again. Lord, you alone can go that deep. Do what only you can, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Got peace? I know. It sounds like a commercial slogan. But sincerely, not just in church on Sunday morning, but in those moments as you go through the week. You know where I need more peace? When I'm driving. Because I'm like ADD boy when I drive. And, you know, I'm just like focusing on everything. And sometimes, you know, that's one of those places in my life where I need to let God in more. And it's hard for me just because of the way I'm wired. But that doesn't mean I get a pass. Sincerely, do you have peace? Peace that lasts. Peace that works on you and moves through you to take over more of who you are. I put it that way because it's a gift, and you and I can have it, and we can know it. And when I think about where I'd be without it, man, it's not good. I was a kid in California in the 60s when everyone was making peace signs, you know, and in elementary school, I even made my own out of some popsicle sticks and a mason jar lid, and I wore that to school. I thought it was pretty cool, you know. Just the other day, I was on the freeway. When this person, and I was in the right lane, this person passed me on the left, tailgates the car in front of me, then cuts right in front of me, and on the back was this bumper sticker that said, "Create peace." I kid you not, it is the second time in my life that that has happened to me with that particular bumper sticker. By the way, that's one of the reasons why, as a preacher, I don't have a religious bumper sticker on the back of my car. Because I know sometimes I don't want to give a bad witness to Jesus. So I'm working on it. But I laughed out loud when I saw that because I thought about the number of times that I've had peace available to me right there for the asking. And I did not go there. You know, peace is great as a slogan. It's great as a slogan. You know, whether you're a peacenik or a religious person, it makes us feel good if we're in favor of it, right? I mean, how can you argue with peace? But do we have it? Do we have it genuinely? Would those who know us well say that we have it? Sometimes even have it in spite of ourselves. I think, Carrie, you could say that about me most of the time. Yeah. I know that I'm meddling now, but, you know, I mean, honestly, do you have it? Because Jesus makes this promise about it, and he's not blowing smoke. I mean, I know it's one of those things that we love to quote in church, but if more people, if more Christian people lived with it sincerely, then this world would be a very different place. So here it is. Let's read it. Let's read it together. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. That's our scripture for today. And it may be a shorter sermon because of it. Don't cheer, but because the simple fact is, we either have it or we don't. We're either in that place where it's in our lives and our lives are moving in that direction, or So let's break it down. Let's break the promise down phrase by phrase. First, peace I leave you. My peace I give you. You know, there's a difference between Jesus' peace and our personal peace. We can want peace so badly that we try to use Jesus as a means to an end so that we can just kind of get his peace and go about our lives. You know, so basically, Jesus, I want you to bless me. You know, that's why we come to God. We just want our lives to be blessed. That's what it's about. But it's got to go deeper than that. The first thing we need to understand about this verse is that Jesus isn't referring to peace alone. It's just here, have some peace, you know. He's referring to the Holy Spirit. Let's take a look at the verse in context. Here's the verse right before it. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Then here it comes. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So do you see now, as in the context of that verse, what it's really talking about is the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit that comes as we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior and then let him be Lord in our lives. To really have Jesus' peace, we have to have more of him. We have to have more of his Spirit. I think about a great analogy from Robert Boyd Munger's little book, My Heart, Christ's Home. Anybody ever see that, read that story? It's a story about a man who invites Jesus into his life. And his life is kind of like, here's the front hallway. Jesus comes in, and then he invites him into the living room. Yes, Jesus, I want to live with you. But then as he's there, Jesus starts walking through the house. And before too long, he's in the bedroom. And then he's in the hall closet. And there's all kinds of stuff in there. And he's working on him in these places. And we all have them. And the thing is, that's basically a great description of what happens as we let Jesus into our heart and life. The Holy Spirit begins a work in us. And it's this beautiful work. But, oh, he doesn't let up. And it's this gentle but irrepressible movement of strength where little by little we realize we can't resist it. Because if we do, the consequences are too much. Jesus explained this earlier in the same chapter in John. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So at the point that he says this to disciples, the Spirit hasn't been given. The Spirit was given, especially on the day of Pentecost, but he was everywhere Jesus was. And so Jesus said, you know, he lives with you and will be in you. So Jesus' peace is all about relationship. I love what Tim Keller tweeted earlier this week. He said, if you don't trust the Bible to let it challenge and correct your thinking, how could you ever have a personal relationship with God? You see, God uses his word so that his Spirit moves through it. And in that place, we spend time with him. And we need to let it direct our thinking about our identity at the deepest levels. And then let it show us and teach us how to be with God more and more as we go through the day. And as we're just there, as we hang out in the Word of God, as we make a point of personal practice in that, he really will meet us. In the second part of the verse, Jesus says, I do not give to you as the world gives. And we all know what that's like. But Jesus' peace is priceless because it goes deeper than anything we know. And dear one, I don't say that as a person who has arrived. I say that as a person, man, I'll tell you, if I could tell you one thing that Jesus has done for me, if I were to say, okay, James Banks before and after, what's the difference? What has he done for me? Man, I know. It's this. He has touched me with his peace, and he continues to do it because it is my area of greatest personal need. I mean, I think of where I would be if not for that. And we all have those particular areas, but for me, this one really comes out. And living it out in the context of I do not give as the world gives. I remember Jesus' peace meeting me in the split seconds that I was in a car wreck, right before the car was headed into a tree. And all of a sudden, you're going to be all right. And the car hadn't hit yet. I remember at another time when I was sick in bed in a hospital, about 40 pounds lighter than I am now. And it was just there. Just there. I've encountered his peace sincerely more times than I can count. Because it has become a daily thing. Every day? No. But that's the goal. That's what I'm living into because I know that that's what I'm called to. Just this past week, I was troubled by something all morning. And I sat down with my Bible for just 5 minutes to be with God. And it was amazing how Jesus' peace just met me there. I mean, it was, you know, of course you hear the saying, you know, it came over me like a warm blanket. kind of thing. But it really was like that. I mean, one moment I'm troubled, I'm churning within. You know, I've got this imagination that runs at 90 miles an hour and runs amok sometimes, and all of a sudden, all of that is just. I can't even tell you what book of the Bible I was in. But it happened. It happened. He met me there, and I got up from those 5 minutes changed. Nothing, nothing can give us the peace that He can. God's word reminds us in Titus chapter 3, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. Again, this is the difference between Christianity and every other faith. Other faiths may give you a sevenfold path to follow or five pillars that you must adhere to. But Jesus says, you can't earn it, you can't earn it. But I will give it to you if you will receive it, if you will have it. I love the language of renewal here. Do you see what the Holy Spirit does? He washes us. He renews us. He pours Himself into us. Not because of righteous things we've done. It's just God's generosity. It's grace meeting us in the hard place. Here's a checklist to consider. If you felt, as Scripture defines people in one place who were looking for Jesus, harassed and helpless, here's a checklist to consider. If you want to receive His peace, are you spending time in God's Word and in prayer every day? Now, by that, it's not something to check off, and that's why I don't like this, you know, checklist phrase, but I mean, sermons have got to have 3 points sometimes, right? So, but the thing is, are you going there to be with Him? Are you going to the Word of God to be with God? Secondly, are you taking God's Word to heart, walking in obedience with Him? This is where it can't be a partial thing. If there's a sin in your life, a place where you're holding out and demanding your way over God's Word, and this is so hard in our culture today. You know, it's so easy to capitulate to the world's ways of thinking, but the cost will be personal peace because we will be quenching the Spirit of God. And then thirdly, are you resting in Him in the moment more and more? Are you learning to do that? Anybody remember those Nestea ads years ago where the guy takes the Nestea plunge, you know? It's not really a plunge, you just sort of, you know, lean back into it, you know, and goes into the pool kind of thing. That's really what this is about. Are you leaning into Jesus, into His promises, into His forgiveness, into His strength in the difficult moment, into His presence when everything around you is falling apart? Here's the last part of the verse. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. There's a scripture verse that says, perfect love casts out all fear. And that's who Jesus is. More than anything else, if you were to describe his presence, it is this perfect love. And when we run to him, we find him faithful. Just Saturday night, a week ago, I was in the emergency room at Duke, not a peaceful place to be. And I was sitting there with Ed and his father while his father was dying. And I'd been there over a couple hours. And because when someone is dying, you never know how long it will be. And from the monitor, he was sort of in a state of stasis. So I left a little before midnight, and I was hesitant to leave because Ed was alone and he was hurting. And again, the emergency room at Duke is not a peaceful place. I mean, there were people in and out, and the sound of monitors, and you know, there had been a car accident situation right next to us, and then on the other side there was this family that was laughing loudly, and it's like, really? And so Ed's just sitting there quietly beside his dad, and we were praying and going over scripture verses, and Ed would step out of the room, and I sang to his dad a little, and but eventually, you know, it was time for me to step away. And I talked to Ed this past week, and he said, you know, James, it was good you stepped away because it gave me some time to just be with Dad alone. And then he added, it was rough. Ed's an only child. He loved his dad dearly. It was rough, he said. But the Lord was there. In the end, there was peace. I felt it. I felt it. And I know my dad felt it. Jesus was there. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. You know, our church's name for this. It's name for this kind of peace. That's what the acronym on the front of the communion table is about. It stands for, in Latin, Jesus, our peace. And I would just ask you gently, as one person who has needed this so desperately, and by the grace of God has found it. Do you have it? Do you have it? Through his cross, through him, through leaning into him, through being with him. Oh, he longs to give it. He longs to give it to each of us. And the beautiful thing is, we will never come to the end of it. We can always discover more. And so we end where we began. Got peace? May we pray. Oh, Lord. Thank you. This isn't about slogans. Thank you that you really are peace. Lord, help us. Thank you that you do help us when we come to you and we say, oh, Lord, we need you. and when we want you more than anything else. But you know how we struggle with that. And so we ask again, help us. And this morning, dear one, as you are thinking about these things, can you say, yes, I've received Jesus' peace because I've received him. Oh, I hope if you haven't said that, if you can't say that, that you would leave this place being able to. That you would tell him, yes, Lord, I receive you. I receive the gift of your forgiveness. I receive what you did for me at the cross, giving me peace with my Creator. And I need you. Oh, I need you. I need your Spirit. Oh, give me your Spirit. I turn to you. I turn from the world. I turn from sin. I turn to you. And if you pray a prayer like that, he will meet you. And even if we've walked with him for years, you know, there are still places where we need more of his peace. So would you tell him yes? Would you let him into that place? Just like I'm letting him into my driving right now. Oh, Lord, come in. This we pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Song we're about to sing. Written by a guy who lost his bride the night before their wedding.